Amen. So like I was saying, highs and lows, everything in between this past year. And I think at the end of the year is a good time to just reflect. And I was just thinking about what has God done this past year in my life, but also in the lives of people around me. And I feel like I said earlier, a lot of people have been going through some hard things. And so we want to, the Bible says, mourn with those who mourn. We want to share in the sadness that people are sharing in. And we want to rejoice in the joys that people have as well. And I know that the new year can be a time where we kind of, you know, people make resolutions, right? Or just different goals. Maybe you don't like that word. You're like, well, I just want to get in better shape, you know, this next year. Or I want to get a new job, or I want to get a relationship. There's certain things that we're like, man, we hope that will come with the new year. Certain things that maybe didn't happen this year that we hope, well, maybe next year will be my year. And those things are good, and I think it's good to have goals, and it's good to have ideas of what we want to see happen. But ultimately, I think it's all about what does God have for us as a people? And what does God have for you personally? What is God's will for you in 2020? And that's what I want to kind of look at this morning. The title of the sermon is God's Will for You in 2020. How can we know what God's will is, and how can we walk in what His will is? And I want to look at 1 Thessalonians 4. We'll just start in verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 4, this is Paul speaking to the Thessalonians. He says this, "Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God." This is Paul speaking to the Thessalonians and also to us. And he's explicitly saying, hey guys, this is what God's will for you is. Now, obviously the Bible, we believe, is the revealed will of God for us, right? We have the will of God for us in the scripture, but there are certain places, and this is one of them, where God says, hey, I'm actually going to tell you what my will is for you expressly. And here in verse 3, he says, this is the will of God, your sanctification or your holiness. Specifically in the context of sexual purity. Now, when we think about God's will for us, a lot of times what we mean is, I want God to bring me into a relationship with someone, or I want that new job, or I want God to give me a platform to use my gifts, give me direction, give me guidance. But it's interesting when the Bible talks about God's will in this way, this isn't really something that we would think of, right? We're like, well, yeah, we know we should be pure. But I think sometimes we downplay this and we're like, okay, we know this, but Lord, what about all this other stuff that I want to see happen in the new year? And I think if we're not careful, we can neglect the clearly revealed will of God. And we're just grasping for like, Lord, give me something new. Bring something like in 2020 that I haven't experienced before. But the thing is, like, God leads us in His ways. As we're looking to Him, as we're trusting Him, I think if we're not saying, Lord, I want to be obedient to Your will in this area of my life, I think we're going to be clouded when it comes to making decisions. Like, should I take this job? Should I move to this place? Should I be in this relationship? It's going to be very hard for us to see clearly what God's will is for us. And this is something that I want to encourage us in this next year. And I've seen us do this with each other, like be honest and be real about our struggles. But I want to encourage us, just like Paul did here to the Thessalonians in verse 1. He says, hey, I know you're doing these things, but I want you to do them more and more. I want you to be vulnerable, be transparent. For those struggling with sexual sin, I want this year, we're a family, right? And so I want this year to be something where we could be open and honest. And maybe it's sexual impurity, maybe it's just some deep hurts that you have. But my hope for us is that as a community this year, we could be real with each other, because we're going to help each other walk in the will of God, right? As we're being open and honest with our struggles, we're saying, hey, like, we're for you, we love you, and we want to see you walk in God's best. This is an example of what God's will is for us. It's almost like God's like, hey, it's not about like what you're going to do. It's about who you become. As you become the person that God is wanting you to become, you're going to be on the path that God intends for you to be on. Does that make sense? It's almost like sometimes we want like the answers to the test, and God's like, I want to help you through the process. I'm going to give you the wisdom, and I'm going to be with you in the process of taking the test, but I might not give you all the answers to the test. And I think this is what God is doing here. I want to talk about some ways that God reveals his will to us. Look with me at a chapter over in 1 Thessalonians 5. I just want to look at one more example of this, where God tells us what his will is. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 16 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So if you're wondering, what is God's will for my life? We can look at two places in this chapter. He's saying, hey, God's will is that you would pray, that you'd be holy, that you would give thanks in all circumstances. As we're doing these things, I believe God will lead us into the more specific requests we have for direction. All throughout Scripture, we have God revealing himself and saying, hey, I'm with you. I love you. I will lead you. I am your shepherd. There's explicit places where he says this, but also the whole Word of God. As we're looking at the Bible, we're seeing this is God's will for us. And like I said earlier, as we're bringing ourselves to Scripture, God is speaking to us. He's directing us. He's in the process with us. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 talk about this. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. As you're trusting in the Lord, God is with you. He's directing you onto the right path. He's making your path straight. As we know, we don't always get everything we want. You survived this past year, so I'm sure you realize that. That's not how it goes. But God's will be done. I believe if we're open, if we really understand who God is and we're going to the Word of God, we know that God is all-powerful. God is all-loving. God is sovereign. He's in control. He's a good father. He gives good gifts. And so if he's seen fit to say, you know what, I'm not going to give you that this year, I'm not going to open up that door, we always know that it's for our good. It's because he loves us. And there's certain reasons why we might not understand in this life where God says no. But we can trust. You know what? God made us. He came for us. He died for us. It's all love coming from the Father, so we could trust his heart for us. Psalm 37, verse 4 and 5 says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. I love this, these scriptures. When you're confused, and you will be this next year, when you're at a loss of like, man, I'm struggling to trust you, these are great scriptures to go to recognize, you know what? God is in control of everything that happens in our life. Okay, Lord, you're calling me to commit my way to you, to trust in you, and you'll bring it to pass. Give me the grace to do that. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he will add all these things unto you. Make God's priorities your priorities this year. There's a lot of goals we can have, and I'm not discouraging us from making goals, but may this be a goal for us as a church. Say, Lord, I want to know you better. I want to trust you more in 2020 than I did, 2019? I don't know why I had to think about that. I want to trust you more this next year. I want to commit my way to you more. I want to spend more time with you this year. As I believe, as we align ourselves with God and who he is, like, this other stuff will take care of itself. It's not going to be easy all the time, but I believe that God will be faithful to lead us. I want to talk about some ways that God leads us into his will. Obviously through the Word of God, as we looked at, but also through prayer. God leads us into his will as we seek him in prayer. This is why the Bible is continually telling us, hey, you've got to pray. Like, you have not because you ask not, James says. There are certain things that God wants to give us that we don't have, I believe, because we don't ask. And we say, well, God's sovereign, so he's going to do what he's going to do. Yeah, but there's this tension in the scripture where he's saying, okay, God is sovereign, but God has sovereignly chosen to answer the prayers of his people, to actually move when we ask him. And James says there are certain things that you don't have because you're not asking. And this is an area where I want us to grow in this next year as a church. This is my hope, is that we would grow in our prayer lives individually, but also as a church. I believe that when we pray, the Bible is clear, God answers, God moves, and many of you have seen that as you've been praying for things this past year. You've seen God come through for you time and time again. And I want to just encourage us that this would be on the radar, that it's like, Lord, I want to bring my cares to you. I want to do what the scripture says in giving you my cares. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7 says this. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be anxious for nothing. It's very easy to say. It's hard to do, I feel like, for us. Because we like to feel in control. We like to be anxious. We like to just stress over it and keep it in our minds and our heads and try to figure things out. And God's saying, okay, get those things out of you and give them to me. Turn your cares into prayers. Give me your anxieties. Give me your cares, and I'll give you my peace. And this is one of the ways that we sense God leading us into what his will is. The peace of God. It says in Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. The language there is almost like, let the peace of Christ be the umpire, be the one who calls the shots. When you're praying about a decision, you're like, Lord, I'm just not like sensing your peace about this. That might be God saying, hey, he's putting the brakes on you, saying, this might not be what I have. Or it's a wait. Like, don't go forward. Wait on me. Wait till you have that peace that comes from God. And then even if you go forward and it blows up in your face, Lord, I'm going to trust you with the outcome. You gave me peace about this. I stepped out. I want to trust you with the outcome. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. There have been a lot of prayers I've prayed, and one was for my wife. You know, I've talked about that before, but a lot of years, just like, Lord, what's going on? I'm single. What's happening here? And just to tell you this, I mean, I'm 32, but to see the Lord's faithfulness in bringing me my wife was a huge answer to prayer for me, for my family. You know, they're always like worried, like, oh, what's happening with this guy? You know, we need to bring him someone or something. And just to encourage those of you who are single, like, The Lord sees your heart and he knows what you need better than you know what you need. And there were times where I'm like, man, what's going on? I'm confused. And it's like, what's happening, Lord? Like, there's no prospects, you know? And I think just trusting that, like, the Lord knows exactly what you need. You can trust the Lord with your singleness. You can trust the Lord that he knows exactly what you need. In light of your career as well. As we're praying through, Lord, what is it that you have? You're going to see God answer you. You're going to see God come through for you. But like, if we don't pray, we're not going to have the privilege of seeing God move in those ways. We won't recognize it many times. But when we're really drawn to this place to say, Lord, I'm crying out to you. I need you. I need you to come through for me in this area. Your faith is going to be strengthened through seeing him come through for you. Another way we're led into God's will is by God giving us wisdom. We talked about this a little bit earlier, but sometimes God might not give us the clear answer. Like, should I stay here? Should I go there? And you might not hear God say, like, go to wherever. You know, like, you might not hear him say directly, audibly, maybe through the word or maybe through someone. But maybe God wants to give you wisdom to make that decision. We see this in the book of James. It says in chapter 1, verse 5 through 8, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And so this is what we have here from James. He says, hey, if you're lacking wisdom, if you need wisdom to make a decision or just in life, ask God for it. Because God wants to give you wisdom. We can get wisdom from the Word of God, but also wisdom is something that we should pray for. Lord, give me wisdom today. Help me with this decision, or when I'm meeting with someone, give me the wisdom I need to give them the right counsel. Whatever it is, God wants to give us wisdom. And he says, ask in faith. Ask God in faith, and God will give you wisdom. God also gives us direction and guidance and wisdom through his people. I'm sure many of you have experienced this before, but if you've ever met with someone from the church or someone from the church has maybe called you out on something you were doing wrong, that can oftentimes be a gift that God's giving you. It's like, I love you, and I'm not just going to let you go wander through life trying to figure it out. I'm going to bring people around you who can give you godly wisdom. And there's been people in my life who love me enough to tell me the truth. You know, hey man, you're blowing it. Like, don't settle for less than God's best. You know, people saying this, and it's like, okay, either they're all wrong, or maybe I'm doing something wrong. Maybe God wants me to humble myself and receive the wisdom that he's giving from the church. Because the Holy Spirit is inside each believer, that means that, like, we have a great resource here. Like, when we don't have clarity and when we're struggling, we can go to each other and say, hey, what do you think about this? We can go to each other for counsel and guidance and trust that God will lead us through godly wisdom. It doesn't mean that people are always going to be right. Right? There might be some counsel you get that might not be the best. But I think if you're seeking godly counsel, God's going to be faithful to lead you and guide you. I remember when, just a little story on this, but, you know, when my wife and I got married, we kind of talked about, well, what do you kind of see yourself doing? Or like, you know, she works in Uganda. It's like, hey, do you want to move to Uganda? Like, I just want to know up front. And she's kind of like, what do you feel like God's calling you to do? And I think we were both at that time kind of, I was just telling her, you know, I feel like God wants me to be a like a pastor, like in ministry eventually, and I don't know what that's going to look like, but it's almost one of those things you feel, but you're like, maybe it's just me, or I don't know. It's kind of like scary. So, but I think vocalizing that to her helped me out a lot. And then I always felt like this would happen for some reason once I got married, like being a pastor. I don't know the details of it or where it would happen, but I just felt like I would have to be married, and then like it's not like it would soon happen, but sometime after that would happen. And I kind of just had this sense from the Lord on that. But kind of still denying it. And we went to Costa Rica for a honeymoon, and we were like in the jungle. We were out in the middle of nowhere at this little spot. Had some flies and some weird stuff. It's a little more than we bargained for, but the guy at the front desk was, we were talking to him, talking about his marriage, and he was just opening up and sharing, and we're talking, and he just looks at me. He says, "Hey," he's like, "are you a pastor?" And I'm like, "No." And he's like, "I just see pastor over you." He's like, "Has anyone ever told you that?" And I'm like, "Yeah, some people have told me that, but this is so weird, man, because we're out here in the middle of nowhere." So I was just tripping out, like, this is crazy. And I look at my wife, and she's like, "Man, are you going to receive it, you know, because you've been kind of denying it?" And I just felt like the Lord, like, just saw me, you know, in that moment. Just like, hey, I see you here. I know what I have for you. Even though you don't see it unfold right now, I'll bring it to pass. And there's these certain moments that I think God wants to use people to help give us guidance. That's just a little illustration. But for you, I know many of you have certain things similar or like that, where you've even received just guidance or counsel from people in the body. But I think this is something that we want to be open to in the new year. Like, us pursuing the Lord, it's not just for our own, like, doing. It's actually for the benefit of the body. Like, my walk with the Lord isn't just, it doesn't just benefit me, but it actually benefits the rest of the body as well. And maybe you get a word like that for someone, or you get a word of wisdom or knowledge, or say, "Hey, I just sense that the Lord wants me to tell you this." Like, I would say, go for it. Obviously, pray through it and do that. But I think there's a lot that God wants to do in our midst. And I think if we just play it safe, we're not going to see God work in the ways that maybe God wants to work. Like, if that guy that I was talking to would have just said, "Oh, this is really weird, I'm not going to say this," dude, I would have missed out on like a huge blessing from the Lord. But he's like, "You know what? I'm just going to say it." And man, the impact that that had on me was powerful. And so, just to encourage us, one of the ways that God leads us is through the wisdom in the body. Don't be afraid to step out to speak to people and give them God's wisdom. Another way God leads us is through His Holy Spirit. If you're a believer in Christ, if you've trusted in Christ and what He's done on the cross for you, the Holy Spirit has come to live inside of you. And so Romans 18 says that for all who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. If you have the Holy Spirit leading inside you, you have what you need. God is actually leading you. Even when it seems like you don't know where you're going, God is the one who's leading you. The Lord is your shepherd. And so even in times of confusion and like, "Man, I'm trying to figure out what is God's will for me," like, and you're complicating it, overanalyzing it, know this: you have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is leading you into what He has. The last thing I want to just look at, and as we approach the new year, just these times where we have a hard time trusting God's will for us. Because we think of God's will, we kind of associate good things with God's will, right? Maybe I'll get a new hobby this year, new job, new career opportunities, new relationship. Maybe my health will get better. There's these certain things that we're like, okay, these positive things will happen hopefully in this new year. But Sometimes God's will includes suffering. And we see this in Peter. He says, if anyone suffers according to the will of God, he uses this phrase and basically says that there are times where basically God's will for you is to suffer. And in our minds, we're kind of like, no, like suffering is bad and prosperity is good, right? Like the good things of life are what we want. But I think if we create those categories in our mind, when suffering comes, we're not going to have the tools to address it, to confront it. Like, how am I supposed to deal with these hard things when I lose someone? When God doesn't come through for me in the way that I was hoping he would? And I think looking at the example of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, there was these intense moments where basically Jesus is preparing to go to the cross, but like this is where the battle is really being waged. The battle of the wills. And this is the one time in Scripture where we see the will of Jesus is different than the will of the Father. He's praying in the garden saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, this cup of suffering that's coming. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And this is very enlightening for us, because what we see here is that Jesus in his humanity, he's facing the cross and not only the physical suffering, but he's looking at what it's going to cost. Right? Like from all of eternity, the Father is loving the Son loving the Father, the Holy Spirit. There's this, what they call the divine dance. This love that's existed within the Godhead from all of eternity. And at the cross, what was going to happen was that the Son was going to become the object of God's wrath. He's never experienced this ever before. But in these moments going up to the cross, Jesus would experience becoming sin for us, becoming a curse for us. He would take on the weight of all our sin. He would be cut off from the Father. And in Gethsemane, Jesus surrenders his will to the Father. God's will for us will sometimes involve suffering. But through the suffering, God is bringing glory from it. Think about that. What did the cross accomplish? What did Jesus accomplish in his suffering? He accomplished salvation for his people. We just had Christmas. He will save his people from their sins. And he does this by becoming a curse for us. He does this through surrendering his will and saying, God, not my will, but your will be done. This is my preference. This is what I desire. But I want them to be saved. I want to glorify you. And this is really our example. Jesus, the way that he surrenders his will to the will of the Father. The way that he takes the judgment that we deserve on himself. This is what helps us to surrender our wills to God as well. We always have to look back to the cross. We always have to look back at what Jesus has done for us. In the times of confusion, in the times when we can't make sense of it, we go back to what we know. I know that Jesus loves me. I know that Jesus did for me what I cannot do for myself. I know that he's taken care of my biggest problem. I know that I can trust him. I pray that we would be a community this next year who goes deep in the gospel, who doesn't settle. I feel like it's very easy to settle on what we know. And for some of you, you know about the Bible, you know about church, and you know the drill, you know, the information, you know the right things and what we believe. But like the passion is what I'm talking about. Like, I know we have the information, but like, where's the passion? And I think this is something that I'm hoping God will do in our midst, that he would stir up in us a passion for his name, that we wouldn't be content just to rest on what we have, but like Paul tells the Thessalonians over and over again in this book, he says, hey, there's more for you. Yeah, you're loving each other, but like keep doing it more and more. You know God, but like keep increasing in your knowledge of God more and more. And so my hope for us is that we would go for more this next year. We say, you know what? I'm not going to be content with what I know. Lord, I want to love you. I want to really examine the areas in where I'm not walking in your will, in where I'm walking in willful disobedience. I want to be open with my brothers and sisters. I want to grow this year. I want to see people come to know you. I want my heart to break for the lost this year. And I believe if we're honest and if we call out to the Lord, he will hear us, and I believe he will give us that passion. Let's pray.